I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Attorney General Eric Holder recently called America a nation of cowards in matters of race. And now his remarks are being called everything from provocative and courageous to insulting and wrong. This program recently explored ways to make conversations about race more productive. And today we're going to ask our panel if Holder's remarks meet that test in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for our weekly political chat. It's been a very busy week for President Barack Obama. He went out west to Denver, where he signed into law the huge $787 billion economic stimulus package. Later, he went to Arizona, where he unveiled a $75 billion plan aimed at stemming the foreclosure crisis. And yesterday, Mr. Obama took his first foray outside the U.S. as president. He met in Ottawa with Canada's prime minister on trade and environmental issues. So we decided to check in with Congressman Gregory Meeks to get his assessment of all this. He's a Democrat who represents New York's 6th District. He's also a member of both the Foreign Affairs and Financial Services Committee. So he's been thinking about all the issues the president addressed this week. Congressman, welcome back. Thanks for talking to us.
It's always good to be with you, Michelle.
Thank you. First, I want to start with the foreclosure issue. The president introduced this foreclosure prevention package, or a package aimed at stemming the foreclosure crisis, earlier this week. It's the first government plan aimed at homeowners directly. And I wanted to ask, first of all, what's your overall assessment of this plan? We've talked to you earlier about how the foreclosure crisis is affecting your district. Do you think this plan is helpful?
It's absolutely moving in the right direction. I think that we anxiously await March 4th. So that we can see what the details are. But I believe that, as the president outlined, and for the first time, we have some help going to homeowners. We've got to stem the tide of people going into foreclosure, and I think that this moves in that right direction. It tries to right a wrong where individuals, especially whose homes are valued at less than what their mortgages are, and you try to balance that so you can keep as many Americans in their home as possible.
Do you have any concerns about the same questions that were raised about the bank bailout last year under President Bush? People raised the question of moral hazard, whether bailing out people who participated in these decisions creates a poor precedent for the future. Do you have any of those concerns?
Well, no. I think that we are in a unique time in our history. We are in a financial crisis like we've never seen before, and we've got to stem the tide. When you talk about, we talked about the initial bailout of the financial services, it was to try to protect to keep the industry afloat, which is tremendously important not only to us but to the world market. But also what we did talked about did not happen then was that there was not a helping hand given to the homeowners and to Main Street. And here President Obama for the first time is moving in that direction. And he's doing it, I think, in a very responsible way. He's not trying to reward those that were the individuals that perpetuated frauds and or that were speculators, et cetera. He's looking at trying to make sure individuals, many of whom are still paying their mortgages on time, but are in danger of falling behind because of the various, the adjustable rate mortgages, et cetera, that we keep them in their homes. And I think that that's a responsible way of going about it.
Some people are praising the plan as being, as you just said, it's a relief that's directly for the homeowners. But some say it doesn't go far enough because it doesn't address bankruptcy reform. Now, just a couple of years ago, Congress made it easier for financial institutions to put Americans into bankruptcy in a number of ways. And many people say really the issue is it's just too easy for financial institutions to do this. What's your take on this? Do you think bankruptcy reform should be part of this conversation?
Well, President Obama talked about a small piece of bankruptcy reform in this, what's called cram down, where bankruptcy judges will have an opportunity to determine what the fair market value of a home is when it's a last resort. So in other words, if in fact someone is in bankruptcy and we know that the fair market value of the house currently, say, is $200,000, but the person has a mortgage of $350,000, then under President Obama's proposal, the judge will then be able to determine what the fair market value of that home really is on a current basis. I think that that is a stick that the president has in his plan that will probably compel individuals, both the borrower and the mortgager, to try to sit down and refinance it. Because the truth of the matter, Michelle, is that if people go into foreclosure, no one wins. The bank doesn't win. The homeowner clearly doesn't win. And the neighborhood doesn't win. And what the president is trying to do is to fix the situation so that we can have more winners. And I think that what you hear is you're going to hear people on the left saying that the president's plan doesn't go far enough, and on the right saying that the president's plan has gone gone too far, which probably means that he's in the middle, which is where he should be.
And just briefly, if I could get you to talk about how the foreclosure issue is affecting your district.
My district is off the charts. We are at the epic center here in New York. You know, in Queens and southeastern Queens, we are, you look at our zip codes, we are number one. We had over 5,600 foreclosures last year in Queens, with close to a third of that being simply in my district. Just in the month of January alone, you had over, I think it's over 2,000 foreclosures in New York, with about close to half of that being in my district. Mm. So it is terrible in my area. And as a result, you also have individuals who are perpetuating fraud on top of fraud for individuals who are desperate to try to fix their situations. And so we are just trying to manage. I have shut my offices basically on Wednesday to allow. We have a partnership with the Consortium of Workers Education to have individuals to come in who are attorneys, who are financial consultants, who are negotiating with services with banks, trying to keep people in their homes. And we're working with the Attorney General and the District Attorney's Office, trying to prosecute those individuals who continue to perpetuate the frauds.
I want to switch gears now and focus on foreign policy issues. This week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton traveled to Asia, met with leaders. And now that's kind of a break in tradition of the Secretary of State normally goes to Europe or the Middle East as a first visit. I'm just, what's your sense of the message that she's sending with this first trip, or that the administration's sending?
I think it's significant. First off, when you look at the first stop being Japan, the second largest economy in the world, given this fiscal crisis. And whereas in the past, Japan has always trying to, you know, somewhat felt slighted and didn't feel like they were part of the solutions that we would move forward. So going to Japan first, I think, sent a significant message, and listening to what Japan has to say and looking at the fact that she visited with many of the families of those individuals who are held hostage in North Korea also sends a significant message to Japan that when we deal with the North Korean crisis or if we're dealing with China, we want to make sure that you're part of the process and we want you to work with us. So I think it is significant that she went to Japan, then went to Indonesia, which is the largest Islamic country in the world. And so it sends another message to the world that we're looking to work with Islamic and Muslim countries throughout the world, listen and work together as we try to resolve some of the problems. And then, of course, going to China, who is one our banker, in fact, says that we're going to work together, we're going to listen, we're going to try to bring people together and change the way foreign policy had been run under the prior president.
Well, I don't want to send a message that we're slighting our northern neighbor, Canada, because the president's first trip was to Canada this week. But we only have a couple of minutes left, so I prefer, if you don't mind, I want to ask you about this issue that's causing a bit of a flap in New York and also around the country. It's this cartoon in the New York Post that we're going to talk about it later in the program also, but I know you're familiar with it. It shows two police officers shooting this chimpanzee to death. Many people think that it's a racist, it's a slur against the president. They think that the chimpanzee stands in for President Obama. Now, the New York Post issued an apology of sorts on its website last night, saying if anyone was offended, they apologize, but also criticizing people for being opportunist in criticizing it. May I ask your take on this?
Yeah, I'm absolutely appalled by the cartoon. When you look at it, it's obvious. You know, when you say the reference that this country historically has tried to make between, you know, African Americans, Africa, and monkeys and chimpanzees, and then to say, in fact, in it that, you know, we need someone else to do the next stimulus plan showing two holes in a chimpanzee, it is obvious. And I think that it's a stereotype and a racist cartoon that the editors of the New York Post should be ashamed of themselves. They know exactly what that connotated.
They didn't.
I don't buy that at all. And this is not a situation that's just, you know, offensive, I think, to African Americans. I, you know, have gone around the city yesterday just asking individuals who are not African American. You know, they looked at the cartoon and get their initial intake, and I'd say 7 out of 10 of them were also offended and that this was an offense to their president. So I think, and then the New York Times then to simply try to scapegoat.
You mean the Post, the New York Post?
New York Post, excuse me. I'm
saying
sorry.
That, well, the New York Post saying that, you know, sometimes a cartoon is just a cartoon. Yeah, and they also criticized particularly Reverend Al Sharpton, who's been a player in some of these protests, as an opportunist who's just trying to get attention.
And it rises, I think it rises to begin to question their credibility as a newspaper, to be quite honest with you. And maybe there's other motivations in some of the other articles in which they write. Clearly, I mean, you know, there's been other references where other people have gotten into trouble because of these kinds of references.
Do you think a boycott is warranted?
Well, you know what? I think that what is warranted here is we've got to begin to not buy papers that does not stand up and come out with the truth, number one. And then clearly, I think the editorial board is trying to protect itself. I think that the sponsors and the advertisers within the New York Post need to look at it just as they look at other individuals who do things that are wrong and decide to not be sponsors of them again. You know, and so therefore, they need to look at the New York Post and look at what they stand for.
So does clearly, that mean you're boycotting the paper?
Oh, I'm not going to buy that paper, that's for sure.
And you urge others to do likewise?
Absolutely.
You're concerned at all about censorship?
Well, no, it's not about, this is not even censorship. This is about, you know, this is supposed to be not just a tabloid, you know, this is a newspaper. People look at it for facts. If, in fact, they had the opportunity to come out with an honest apology and to state that it just was an oversight, they did not do that. They seem to want to be standing by their guns, and that's a problem.
All right. I appreciate your insights. Congressman Gregory Meeks represents New York's 6th District. He's a member of the House Committees on Foreign Affairs and Financial Services. He was kind enough to join us from our New York studios. Congressman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Great being with you, Michelle.